Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rise and shine. You're all with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about it, Tuesday Church Folk Day, and woo, where there is smoke, there is fire. That's what they used to say back in the day. All you millennials don't know nothing about that saying, but yesterday, woo, we never even got to church folk, unbeknownst to us, because I got a piece of yesterday that I had no clue existed. And today, I'm about to bring it back up. You'll think Chris Rock slapped Will Smith back. Woo! Yes, yesterday, we talked about Albert Pujols, the baseball player, who plays for the Dodgers and who also played for the Angels. Yeah, well, check this out. Homeboy filed for a divorce after his wife, days after the wife had brain surgery. And oh my goodness, the conversation got hot yesterday. Let me just read you his statement. He says, I've been asked a lot of questions over the past few days regarding what's been going on at home, and sadly, after 22 years of marriage, I have made the decision to file for divorce from my wife, Deirdre. I realize this is not the most opportune time, with opening day approaching and other family events that have recently taken place. These situations are never easy and isn't something that just happened overnight. Well, our church folk panel was pretty sparse yesterday. It was Pastor KL, Shantice, and myself. And you know, I don't like to be the third wheel. I just don't. But yesterday, that conversation got so hot. Oh, my goodness, Pastor KL. Oh, as a man, he had so much to say as to humanity. What goes for the humanitarianism? Is that a word? Well, that's a word this morning, because that's the word we're talking about. Where's the human side of this all, that you would leave your wife and five children to do what? Days, remember now, we're talking days after, and he presumed that someone else has his attention. Well, Shantice had the same premise. As a young lady, having lived 36 years of her life, that's what she came to. Somebody else got your attention. Pastor KL said, he's already checked out. Shanti said he has his mind on someone else. And for the third party, as the third individual, I said, absolutely. You don't just walk off after 22 years of marriage and to do what? To be a bachelor? I don't think so. You know, many points were raised yesterday. We had our listeners write in, and Shantice had comments from the listeners. Like, yeah, you know, after 22 years of marriage, where are you going? And we had a caller who called with some really, really good points. You know, maybe he was being traumatized. You know, it didn't say. The article did not say that he was unfaithful. The article did not say that he had cheated. The article did not say that there was any level of infidelity. And possibly the infidelity could have come from the wife's side. Well, Pastor KL said, with five kids, I'm trying to figure out when you would have the time. And I said, with five kids? Yeah, right. I'm not believing that. But the best part about it is we got an opportunity to hear from both sides of the fence. Yes. And when I tell you it was smoking on this broadcast, it was smoking. At least for Pastor Steph it was. It was such an exhilarating conversation. And as I picked up the article to reread the statement that he made, I missed a vital part. Oh, wait till I read you this later. Vivian ain't got, she's not the only one with socially conscious news today, because I sure got some. And we just might have to bypass our schedule theme to get to this one, because I would love to hear what the women of worship have to say. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I think we might ride this one out, but I don't know. I don't know, but I know. I'm so mad that I missed this part yesterday, but you know what? God put something in reserve for us today, so get ready, get comfortable, because it's about to go down. I'm listening for what the ladies have to say about this today, in addition to hearing what's going on in the socially conscious world. Vivian is hanging on, so therefore I know she's got something for us, and I don't know what she's got, what she's going to be tearing this broadcast up with this morning, but between that and the leftover part from yesterday's statement, oh my goodness, I can't wait to read it. I'm so mad I missed it yesterday, y'all. I'm so mad I missed it yesterday. I was like, Stephanie, how did you miss this part? Not only did I miss it yesterday morning, but I clearly missed it Sunday night. Yesterday was Monday. Tuesday. Monday night I missed it when I caught this article in the news. But like I said, oh, man. We got something else to talk about this day. So go ahead and get your breakfast. Get that breakfast, because you're going to need something to stimulate that mind today. Because I need you to call in, text in, do whatever it is you do to get involved in this conversation. And make sure you tell a friend that is going down over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph this morning, because it is Wow Wednesday, and it's the day before I go on vacation, so I can't wait to chat with the ladies and see what they got to talk about today. And make sure you hold on to your seat, because we'll be right back.
Today, approximately 1 million people in the United States are living with Parkinson's disease. My dad was one of those people. My mom was his primary caregiver. Early signs can be subtle, a tremor in your hand, stiffness in your body, short shuffling steps when you walk. Know the signs and how to spot them in yourself or someone you love, and know the steps to take. Early diagnosis and expert care can improve the quality of life for a Parkinson's patient, and in some cases, it can even mean saving a life. The National Parkinson Foundation is here to help. Learn more about the early signs and discover the free resources available for patients and caregivers at Parkinson.org. Let's do whatever it takes to beat Parkinson's.
Good morning again, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. And God has so graciously ushered us into the middle of the week. And I can't wait. Today is the eve for when I go on vacation for an entire week. I am so looking forward to just relaxing and just letting my mind free. How are you today? I am doing quite well, and I'm so happy to be able to share this time with you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And I hope you're ready for a ride, because I guarantee you we're going to take one this morning. All right? So let's not belabor this any longer. And let's get our girlfriend Vivian on. And let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what you got to say. I'm excited that you're going on vacation. I'm a little jealous. I wish I was going with you, but I'm excited.
good, girl. There's more to this story. I am so excited to continue this story, but before we could get there, I'm always excited to hear what you're bringing to the table. So what you got for us today, Vivian?
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, we are looking at those COVID numbers, top 5 states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are New York State, taking that number one spot, with 14,155 cases. That is, unfortunately, an increase of over 2,000 cases since last week. California is number two, with 13,924 cases. That is a decrease of over 6,000 cases since last week. Texas is number three, with 13,668 cases. That is a decrease of over 3,000 cases since last week. New York City is number four, with 10,987 cases. That is a increase of over 1,000 cases since last week. And Florida is number five with 10,569 cases. That is an increase of over 700 cases since last week. So all top five states from last week are still in the top five this week, just in a different order. Maybe it's just me being hopeful, but I would say that this is not too bad. Another week, yeah, some increases, but based on some of the numbers that we've seen in the past, these increases really aren't that high. So I would say another good week. And now for your health, safety, and convenience, we have some recalls this week. They're recalling Myth of magnesium and generic Tylenol. These things have been recalled due to contamination. They're saying that, unfortunately, most of these oral drugs has been shipped to hospitals, nursing homes, and clinics nationwide from May 1st, 2020 to June 28th, 2021. I'm not sure how, when, or why these days go so far back and why it would be a concern right now in April of 2022, but they are saying they have been contaminated. If you have them, if you have taken anything that has been contaminated, it can cause intestinal distress such as diarrhea or abdominal pain. And those with a compromised immune system can face potentially life-threatening infection. So you have to sort through your medicine cabinet. The generic Tylenol is called acetaminophen, and it has an expiration date of May of 2022. And the milk of magnesia has an expiration date of May of 2022 or of June 2023. So if you have these medicines in your cabinet, again, that's the generic Tylenol and the milk of magnesia with an expiration date of May 2022 or June 2023, to return them from where you bought them or to throw them out. And if you have anybody in a nursing home or hospitals, make sure that you're checking in on your people. We also have Skippy's peanut butter having a recall. They're recalling their reduced fat peanut butter spreads. Most of them are reduced fat. The creamy, the crunchy, the anything reduced fat from Skippy, you may want to return it or throw it out. They're saying it's a limited jar, the 40 ounces only. Skippy's reduced fat, creamy, crunchy, or anything reduced fat peanut butter, 40 ounce jars. They're mostly sold in Costco's. You can get them by the two-pack in Costco's or BJ's. Again, Skippy's reduced fat peanut butter, that's any of them, crunchy, smooth. They're being recalled due to contamination. And they have a best if used by date of May 2023. Next, we have smoke and carbon monoxide alarms. These things are sold nationwide. They're being recalled due to the fact that they may fail to alert people of carbon monoxide. They are sold by the name right, Universal Security Instruments, Inc. They're being recalled because they may not alert you if there's carbon monoxide in your home. They are sold in a double pack. Again, that's the carbon monoxide and smoke alarms from Universal Security Instruments, Inc. If you have them, you may want to return them from where you purchased them or get rid of them. And lastly, we have children-based hand sanitizers being recalled for different reasons. There's a Mickey Mouse hand sanitizer and a Star Wars Mandalorian hand sanitizer that has been recalled due to the presence of benzene in one and the presence of methanol in the other. Again, that's the hand sanitizers from Mickey Mouse and Star Wars. If your children are using this, or if you may have them in your home, you may want to return them from where you bought them or throw it out. Now, news was definitely sparse this week, but I did manage to get a few stories, starting with the MTA, the subway system. It's still going crazy down there. Reports say that a man was arrested for swinging a pickaxe in New York City subway train, and Brooklyn police report saying that on Friday around 4 p.m., a subway rider called 911 about a man swinging a pickaxe on the southbound A train. Officers took the suspect, who was 27 years old, into custody, and he's being charged with menacing and reckless endangerment. Another story says that a man was stabbed inside Wall Street subway station. Two men got into an argument. They got off the train, and one commenced stabbing the other. Fortunately, he is expected to make a full recovery. I don't know what it is about the subway system and why people keep going down there and going crazy, but it's just like every week we're finding these crazy stories down there in the subway system and just showing more and more how the governor, the mayor, isn't doing what he needs to be doing in terms of this safety plan that he was supposed to be rolling out, because it's not getting any better. Now we have all heard of the 14-year-old boy who died after falling from the amusement park ride. But reports are saying that there was or is a woman by the name of Shay Johnson who has been calling herself his cousin. She's been taking interviews on TV, making up stories about her relationship with the young man. Well, the woman's real name is Lucena Browning. She is actually 32 years old. She is currently awaiting trial for arson after allegedly setting a car on fire. She has previous arrests for domestic violence and driving with a suspended license. Her co-workers say that she was working the day the young boy died and the day after. No one has any idea why she chose to do what she has done while she's claiming relations with this boy. But this whole situation has caused her to lose her job as an adult dancer. There is an investigation going on to find out if she has accepted any money or any other types of donations based on her alleged relationship with the boy. The family, again, is unsure as to why she's claiming relations to him. They say they don't know her. They've never even seen her before. And she's just been going around saying that she's related to him and taking interviews, setting up visuals for him. And we've been speaking a lot about mental illness, and this is definitely one of those situations. And now for our wild story of the week. They say if you have ever rented a car from Hertz Car Rental, you may have a warrant out for your arrest. So apparently, people have been arrested for driving rental cars that have been reported stolen by Hertz. Allegedly, there are more than 8,000 customers that have been affected by these false claims of car theft from Hertz. Customers have reported that they were arrested and jailed because the company wrongfully accused them of stealing cars that they had rented and returned years ago. Reports say that there has been a total of 2,742 days spent in jail between the thousands of people arrested. One man by the name of Julius Burnside said he spent 7 months in jail in Georgia for these false claims of theft. A judge did rule that he was innocent and dismissed all charges after the 7 months. Some people have taken plea deals, admitting to stealing cars that they didn't steal just to make the whole ordeal stop. There are still cases pending in criminal court, and at least one new potential claimant has come forward most recently. So Hertz would report a car stolen if it wasn't returned on time. Oftentimes, the proper steps aren't taken to clear the car after it has been returned, causing these types of occurrences. This is definitely sick and some kind of quote-unquote mistake. Needless to say, Hertz is being sued by thousands for mental and emotional damages, and I personally hope this company is forced out of business worldwide, because this is absolutely crazy. They're saying that if a customer didn't bring the car back, maybe days or weeks past their return date, that they would report it stolen. And even after the car was returned, they're not taking the proper steps to make sure that that car is cleared. So if a police happened to stop someone, you know, that person wouldn't get in any trouble for driving this quote-unquote stolen car. They're even going to people's houses looking for cars that they said that they have returned already. And it's just a crazy situation. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. The COVID numbers, you know, has New York State ever been number one?
No, not to my knowledge. Nope.
No, I don't remember in all the time you've been doing these COVID numbers, I never remember New York State being number one. So this is like,
right.
Wow. Now, here's the funny part, Vivian. You know, we just did the story, was it yesterday or Monday, about the woman who lost, who's been harassing, what's his name, Eric Adams, the mayor, for not mandating the tots take the masks off. And New York, he's only responsible for New York City. But he,
right.
when he released the children in the New York City public schools, he was following suit of the governor who had released the mask mandate in New York State. So
right.
I find it interesting that he followed suit with her, and now we're sitting at number one while you're while you're cussing this man, standing in front of this mayor, mad because the tots have not taken off the masks. And here we are sitting at number one and number four on the top five.
Right.
You know, so it's like, are y'all paying attention? Everybody wants the masks off, but are you paying attention to, listen, if everybody takes the masks off, then we are all running the risk of getting ill. We're going to have to keep these masks on as as now the stores are, the event spaces are opening up, and you know, you can now be out dining, you know, without having a mask on. Somebody's got to keep a mask on, Viv, or either these numbers are gonna start going crazy again.
Right, that's true. Especially with the weather breaking and spring break coming up.
Right. You know, Florida is taking that hit with the increase because they just came from spring break. And I'm sure with all of the madness that was going on there, and they were showing the pictures of all of those people on the beach who did not have on any mask, you knew their numbers were going to skyrocket. So if they, and they're not all from Florida. So once they dispersed, now everybody who was there or who's been in contact with these people, their numbers are going to start going up.
Right.
Are you home? Oh, I thought I lost you. So, you know, when you read that New York State was number one, the first thing I thought about was the woman who, you know, who's been harassing the man. I'm like, I wonder if she knows this here now. But you know what, Viv, with people like that, they don't even pay attention to, you know, to the numbers.
Exactly.
They don't even
lost the job and everything for no reason because he just proved the case. He said, if the numbers remain low, then we'll stay with the mask off. And, you know,
right.
he's protecting the kids, and now the numbers are going higher. Now number one and number two spot. Like, all of that for what? It's proof of point.
Right. And she has three children. She has three children. So you would think that she would want these children protected. And the children were the ones who were getting the COVID in this whole Omicron strain. They were suffering,
right.
and they were dying. We had a lot of children die. So it's like you're not even thinking. And now I'm looking at the numbers here, and I'm like, you know, we've got to stay, you know, with our masks on for a little while longer. We've been at this for 2 years. We can last a little bit longer, Vivian. We're not going to go, you know. We can manage. So thank you so much for, you know, covering our socially conscious segment this morning. We pray you have a blessed day.
You're welcome. You too. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Well, you know, we have some shifting of our panel today. And let's talk to Pastor Camp and see what she says about some of this stuff that's going on. Good morning, Pastor Camp.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thanks for asking. How are you all?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. We've got a shift in our panel today. So you're number one. You're number one. Welcome to the number one spot today. Also, you know, we've got some socially conscious stuff to talk about today. You know, we're talking about these COVID numbers and the fact that, you know, we did a story the other morning about this woman here in New York City who has been harassing the mayor about taking the mask off the cot. She's angry because she feels that, and her group feels like the children should be able to breathe and smile. We should be able to see their smiles with their older siblings, because New York City schools have allowed, you know, they're now allowed to take their masks off, but still the little tots have not been freed to take their masks off. And she continued to harass him to the fact that, to the point where she lost her job, they fired her for that and some other stuff. Wasn't just that, but that and some other stuff. What do you think about the tots taking off the mask? Do you think they've been a little too protective, or, you know, do you think that they should just release them from having the masks on as well?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm tired of the mask myself. But at the same time, you know, I just feel like that, you know, these numbers have just not gone down enough, you know, for us to be safe. And I feel like better safe than sorry, you know.
Right, right. I mean, we have to err on the side of precaution. And, you know, Pastor Kim, like you said, we're all tired of the masks, you know, but
yeah,
is it worth us getting ill, you know, and passing away or passing it on to someone else who potentially, you know, will pass away? And listen, what's going on in the schools in Michigan where you are? Are they without masks?
Oh, no. No, ma'am.
Oh. Oh,
no,
okay.
We still got the masks, you know, in our school. Yeah, they have not come down off of that as of yet. Nope.
Oh. Okay.
And
okay,
I thought
so you all
just
school?
Knew that after... I thought after spring break that we would have been out of them, but no, ma'am. Nope.
Wow. Oh, okay. I thought you all were out of masks. So what about the dining and the event spaces and things like that? Do you have to still be vaccinated for that?
We have to get vaccinated every single week. Matter of fact, I'm going to get vaccinated now, you know, every week. They have the students and staff have to be vaccinated every week.
What does that mean?
Yes.
You mean tested or booster?
Yeah. I'm sorry, tested. Yeah, we got to be tested every week.
Still?
Yeah, but the kids, we just have to take the COVID test every single week, yep.
Even if you're vaccinated?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay, so the students and the staff?
No, just the staff has to be vaccinated.
But
you know what? I'm not going to say that the staff have to be vaccinated, but I know they were trying to push towards that. But because I do know some people that have not been vaccinated, but you have to be tested every week.
Regardless of whether you're vaccinated or not.
Yes.
Wow.
They come to our school. Yep, they come to the school and do the test.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow, I didn't even realize that they were still being that stringent there in Michigan, that you still had to be tested regardless of whether you were vaccinated or not. Okay, okay. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. All right, Pastor Kim, we've got this other story about this these Hertz rentals. I mean, it's been a minute probably since you've had to rent a car, but, you know, they have not followed the proper protocols when these people are returning the cars. And now, and I read this story. I just, it's funny because I saw it and I just went by it. But the story is these people have been returning their cars and some have been a little, like a day late or so. And they have reported the car stolen, and the police have stopped these people and have arrested people and fined people for driving a stolen car, or after they've returned the cars and everything, because they haven't checked the cars in properly, these people have been charged with stealing, having stolen a car. And now you've got this man who spent 7 months in jail, and now the judge is saying, okay, I find that you're not guilty of having stolen this car. What do you think they should do with Hertz? Are you talking to the mute button, Pastor Kim?
Oh, sorry, my phone was going back and forth. I was getting in the car. Sorry about that. Yeah, so we were discussing about the those that were that they were accusing of different things because of, like, the cars that about the rental car.
The rent. These people have rented cars from Hertz. They've returned the cars. Maybe somebody you maybe have returned it late. You know, a day or so, but people have returned the cars. They haven't checked the cars back in properly. And now they're accusing all these people. They say 2,742 days have spent in jail for falsely being accused of not returning these cars, up to a man spending 7 months in jail for having, you know, they say having driven around in a stolen car when he's returned the car to Hertz. So, Michael, I'm asking you, what do you think they should do with Hertz? Do you think they should shut them down? Do you think they should fine them? What do you think they should do with them?
You know, I just, you know, it's an unfortunate thing when people are, you know, wrongly accused. You know, I definitely think that that's just a bad thing when you have been wrongly accused of something that you haven't done. But, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. So, you know, in regards to, you know, it's a lot of different companies that are doing a lot of fraudulent things, you know. I mean, because for one thing, because of COVID, it seems like because people lost business, because of business being low or whatever you have, you know, because of the pandemic, and then pandemic money was given out. It's like everybody is trying to find out other ways of being able to get money out of people. You know, a friend of mine, they came and took her car, and they told her it was because of something from some years ago. You know,
wow.
Another young lady was, yeah, I mean, just, you know, just crazy stuff. We see the gas prices going up. You know, all different kinds of things are happening, you know, and it's like the overall government system is just trying to, you know, retro back money, you know, from just crazy stuff, you know. So, you know, maybe some of these businesses just need to shut down because it's just crazy and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, if you're trying to recoup money that was lost during the pandemic, you can't, you know, do all of this kind of fraudulent stuff. you know. And at that point, if this is what you're doing, all these people could not have been, you know, who is running a business, Pastor Kim, who sees all these people now suddenly being charged with car theft, and you not investigate internally to find out, you know, what's going on? What's happening? Are you guys doing what you need to do when these people are checking the cars in? Because you're not going to tell me that all these people, 2,742 days spending, you know, of people having spent in jail, you have got to investigate and find out what your people are doing, or maybe your computer system is not doing what, you know, needs to be done, and you got to, you know, have that checked and redone. But how in the world do you run a business? And all of it, because Hertz has been in business for years, Pastor Kim, decades. So all of a sudden now all these people are going to start stealing your cars. There's no other rental company, you know, that's making this claim. And you know what? They need to shut them down. They need to shut them down because now you're out of control. You are straight out of control.
Absolutely.
Out of control. Yep. Out of control. We'll be back, Pastor Kim, to continue our conversation. We're going to move on to our girl, Shantice, who's hanging out in the wings and helping us out today. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
So we've got some craziness going on. We're talking about the MTA. You live here in New York City, and Vivian just brought us the newer occurrences going on in the train system. You know, this guy, and I did another story I saw, and I was like, I can't bring this. This is just too much here. This guy who's in the train station with this pickaxe, who struck someone with a pickaxe, then a man is stabbed at Wall Street. What do you think Mayor, what do you think he's slipping at?
Just not caring. If you really cared, you would put some type of reinforcement, you know, in these subway systems. It's too much going on that's not being, you know, taken care of because there's not enough police officers down there. There's not enough. Well, they would be your only course of action, you know, because you can't put your average MTA worker down there to, you know, do damage control. But he's just slipping through he's allowing it to slip through the cracks because he just doesn't care. So therefore there's no, okay, well, we need to do this. What's our call of action? Get more foot patrol down there. Get more of this, get more of that. You know, let's not let the homeless people get past the turnstiles or whatever you feel like would be a good way to prevent a lot of this from happening. I've just been thanking God that I have not had to ride the subway because it is just really a gamble with your safety now to walk down the subway steps. It's ridiculous now.
You know, we talked about the crimes that were being downgraded. You know, especially in Manhattan, because that was the Manhattan Borough President talking. And he was talking about downgrading, you know, when you had guns and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
How does this fare now with all of this happening here? Is this an indication to you that, hey, this is only the beginning, or this is what we're seeing going on now that you're talking about downgrading all of these crimes, and these people are not going to pay, you know, for the crimes that they're committing?
It's like you're slowly allowing the purge to take place. Like, well, we're going to allow you to do this with no repercussions, but you don't do that. But you can do this as long as, so you can carry the knife as long as you don't stab anyone. You can carry the gun and hold the sword with the gun as long as you don't point it at someone or as long as you don't shoot it. And it's like you're allowing these things to take place, but then you're trying to give them, but just make sure you don't. But then when they do, what are the consequences? It's like you're not really saying anything. It's like, do we even have anyone in office? That's almost like how it feels to me. Like, is there even someone sitting in the mayor's seat? Is there even anyone sitting in this seat or, you know, that seat? Is there anyone appointed to take care of this or to regulate that? Because it's almost like there's no one sitting there. It's like the citizens are left to just handle things the way they feel like they need to handle things. But then when you do take the law into your own hands, you get the consequence for that. You get the consequence for the reaction. But there's no one caring enough to even try to stop the initial act from being done.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can't even imagine what this is, how this is going to be turned around. Because all of a sudden, it just, you know, it's almost like, who left the gate open?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, there's this surge in ultimate madness. On the in the train system, there was always, you know, this craziness lurking. This craziness lurking, or in the train system, you know, where people were afraid to ride the train, especially older people. You know, they didn't want to ride the train because they felt like, you know, it wasn't safe, and you know, but yet with all the commuters and things like that, you would hear, you know, an occasional occurrence. Now, it seems like ever since COVID happened, it's open season for any madman, any mad woman to go down in the train station and do all of these things. And, you know, again, there's this issue of, you know, the mentally ill. Well, what did you do? Just open up the mentally ill hospital and put them into the train system? Because, I mean, the stuff that's going on, and it seems like the crimes are getting worse. It doesn't even seem like, you know, okay, there's a pickpocket or, you know, somebody's purse being snatched. You're talking about now somebody's got a pickaxe down there and, you know, it's getting worse and it's getting worse and it's getting worse, and I think he's coming into a problem, and he's putting his mouth out there as to what he's going to do and how he's going to handle it. And I think he's a man without a plan, and now it's showing that he's a man without a plan, because you know, if you had all these people, you know, patrolling, and you had the, you know, the social workers and the mentally ill workers, you know, the people who can help with that down there, maybe a lot of this wouldn't be going on. All right. We got the Hertz rental. You're a car rental individual. What is going on with this car rental thing?
I actually have a friend right now who just called me a couple of nights ago, Sunday night, to tell me that this is their second incident with Hertz. The first time, he was here in New York, rented from them. He lives in Arizona. So he came here, rented from them, returned the car, and I think rented again. Yes, he returned the car here in New York. He flew back home to Arizona and had to end up renting from Hertz out there also. They told him no, he couldn't, because something like he didn't return the car, or he was here in New York but returned the car in Phoenix. And he's like, my God, that's impossible. Like, if I rented in New York, how am I returning it in Phoenix in like 2 days or a day? It was something real, real remedial. And now it's almost like the same situation. And he's the type where he is going to get extremely detailed and or petty if he has to. He called corporate. He wanted to see a videotape to show of when, because there was no record of him returning the car. Now they're saying he rented from them and he returned the car on E, but he ended up getting the car again, because if you extend the day, if it's too much, you'll just return it and just start a whole new reservation. So that's what he did. So he returned it now and then said, okay, I'm here. Can I rent the car again instead of extending it another day? Can I just complete this and start a new reservation? They said yes. But they had it on file that he returned the car initially on E, but when he started a new reservation with that same car like 10 minutes later, the car was full. He's like, well, how is that possible if I return it on E? So they've been doing some real okey-doke stuff, and I just feel like they just need to go out of business because either someone on the top is too old that they're not coherent enough to pay attention to what's going on, or it could be very well be a situation like Pastor Kim said where you're just now trying to scan your way into recouping the funds that you feel your company has lost. But either way, you are spiting yourself because you are not the only rental company, especially if you live in New York City. We have choices. So if you are going to do this, then you may just get put out of business because once people stop renting from you, you won't have a choice but to close up shop.
Absolutely. You know, they seem to forget you're not the only show in town. And you're going to have to pay for all of this craziness that you've got going on. So eventually they'll figure it out. All right. I have my lady Tamika on this morning. So now I can go into my story from yesterday that grew some legs while I was reading this morning and kind of recapping what happened in our story. So yesterday we had the story of Albert Pujols, if I'm saying the name right, the baseball player who filed for a divorce and presented these divorce papers to his wife days after she underwent brain surgery. So I'm going to read his statement again because, you know, yesterday we spoke about the fact that, you know, clearly he had to be otherwise engaged in a relationship in order to suddenly file for divorce and, you know, to the degree that you could not wait where there are days between her having the surgery on her brain and you presenting her with these divorce papers. And you've been married for 22 years and you have 5 children. So the statement reads, I've been asked a lot of questions over the past few days regarding what's been going on at home. And sadly, after 22 years of marriage, I have made the decision to file for divorce from my wife, Deirdre. I realize this is not the most opportune time with opening day approaching and other family events that have recently taken place. These situations are never easy and isn't something that just happened overnight. I missed this part. I don't know how, but yesterday would have been the perfect day for this piece to come out. But since I got my women of worship on today, I thought this was a perfect opportunity for this to come out. He further goes on to say, as a devout Christian, this is an outcome that I never wanted to see happen. For many long days and nights, I prayed, asking the Lord for his guidance. Now I'm mad. Y'all thought I was mad yesterday. I am madder than mad. How dare you say I'm a devout Christian and I prayed and asked God for his guidance? What kind of God would have you present divorce papers to anybody if you were married for 5 minutes? Who would present divorce papers to his wife of 22 years 5 children. And God told you to do this? Oh, I'm mad. All right, Lady Tamika, have at it. Let me say good morning to you. Have at it, girl. Have at it, have at it, have at it. What is your thought today?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm hoping that all are well this morning. How are you?
You hear how I am. I just got finished reading this statement. If I was fine, I'm not fine now. But how are you?
I am doing well. I am just on my, I'm just getting into my commute, but having a wonderful morning already. A little,
good.
Well, not a little, very agitated with what the news that we just heard. And not even just so much, just when you say I do, there are responsibilities that you have to take in act of, and you can't just drop it because somebody's sick. I mean, you think about it, even in the vows, it says in sickness and in health, you know, and I get it that things are rough, but you in your mind had already checked out years ago. Most of the time, if you've been married 10 years, then, and you're in the process of divorce or leaving, then it's 5 years in there, somewhere within that, there's usually the half length of time that you already mentally checked out. And so my thing is, you got to be extremely careful when you use the word Christian, because, you know, we understand that we're all fallible and we make mistakes, but don't put that as a preface, because trust and believe it. It's not going to go good for you.
Man, it's not going to go good for you is an understatement. Lady Tamika, don't ask me how I missed this one yesterday. I went to read, you know, the little thing, and I was like, wait a minute, Shantice, I missed this part. So, man, this is madness. Pastor Kim, I'm a devout Christian, and I've prayed over this thing, and the Lord, ask for the Lord's guidance.
Mm-mm. I mean, we got to be so careful when we put stuff on the Lord, okay? You know, first of all, when it comes to marriage, God honors marriage and he hates divorce, okay? And he said, who he has brought together, let no man put asunder. You know, so, you know, and again, like my sister said, you know, when you make those vows, you know, that's why they tell you to do it soberly, with a sober mind, understanding that what you're getting into, this is a covenant agreement. This is an agreement that you have made before God and before the witnesses, that this is who I choose, that I love and I choose to spend the rest of my life with, for better, for worse, rich or poor, sickness and health, to death do us apart. You know, so now you want a free pass, you want to, you know, throw in the towel, forget about the kids that you done made and everything that you, you know, sacrificed for love. And now you just want to, after all these years, just go. I mean, I get it. You know, we all go through some things in marriage. Marriage is ministry and it's hard work. You know, I've been in it 32 years and I can tell you it's been many days that I was like, I can't do this. But, you know, our prayer has to be, Lord, teach me how to long suffer. And that's what people don't want to do. People do not want to go through the long suffering. So we just have to pray and ask God to give us strength and teach us how to suffer. I understand some people's situations are different, you know, especially when it comes down to maybe abuse and different things of that nature. You know, I'm not going to tell nobody to stay and keep getting beat, but I know that God will make a way of escape even in situations such as that. But, again, we have to be so mindful and sober-minded and when we make that commitment.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shantice,
you know, you were a part of this conversation yesterday, and we didn't add this element into the equation of you being a devout Christian, and you have prayed and asked the Lord for guidance. What goes through your head when you hear that part?
That you're trying to justify the choice that you have just made by saying, I'm a Christian, I prayed, and this is how God answered me. And it's like, if you do any amount of reading, studying, spending time with God, you will understand that he is very strategic. And even when you feel what you feel, you cannot always act on what you feel. So it's like, what do you mean you're a Christian, this lady just got her head cut open, and you still want her to sign on the dotted line? Like, I'm not understanding. How are you a Christian and you still are telling and showing your kids that I just got to do what's in my best interest right now for me, what I feel like is for me? And it's like, well, how does that work? How does that work? I feel like it's just a lot of, okay, well, I prayed and this is how God answered me. And for the, you know, for the non-believers or for the Christians who don't really, you know, pay attention or, you know, are not as knowledgeable yet, it just might go over. And then at the same time, like Pastor Kim said, you're playing a very dangerous game, because now this is what you're putting out there as to how this is how God is counseling you. This is how he is, you know, and trust me, I just had a very long, worn out conversation last night. I know about when you just feel something and you know, yes, this is still what, you know, I need to do this, but God, this is how I feel. So I get it. But what is your action or your reaction going to be? What are you going to show God that you're going to do anyway? What are you going to show the public that you're going to do anyway? So even with you saying I'm a Christian, even if you didn't mention the prayer part, even with you saying I'm a Christian, you're saying that God is putting a stamp on what I'm doing and what I'm telling all of you guys that I'm doing. So I think it's just really a tacky way to justify why you're handing this woman divorce papers at this time.
You know, I think the biggest, thank you, ladies. I think the biggest challenge that we came across yesterday was the timing. You know, even if we could get past this divorce part, you know, we understand that God does not want us to divorce. We definitely understand that. We understand that that was not his plan. You know, but for whatever the reason is, like Pastor Kim said, we don't know if any abuse or whatever, you know, takes place and whatever the details, the finer details are in each marriage. We definitely understand that, you know, hey, this goes on, even in Christian marriages. You know, Pastor K.L. used the word yesterday and you know, the humanity in your gesture. This person, the one you have married and you have given your life to, 22 years you spent with this individual, and 5 children have come from this union, and you now at the most vulnerable, weakest part of her life. You know, I don't think it could be a whole lot worse than being in this particular state of just coming out of brain surgery. But days from the moment that you came out of surgery from having brain surgery, somebody hands you divorce papers, there has to be some level of breakdown. And now you put out there, because yesterday when we were talking about it, we had no idea this Christian element even existed. And we were just talking about just plain simply being human. You know, do as a landlord, you know, do you, you know, give someone eviction papers after, you know, they find out they you know, they had brain surgery, after you find out they had brain surgery? You're looking at the eviction paper going, man,
you know, dang, look at the timing of all of this, you know. So, you know, I want to talk about that dynamic, the dynamic of 22 years of marriage and 5 children, Pastor Kim.
Absolutely. You know, you've been married 22 years and you have 5 children that you've conceived out of that union. And now, you know, I mean, forget about the children. You know, even if you're not thinking about yourself, it seems like the need that you would think about for the love that you have for your children and, you know, just wanting to keep that family, you know, together. You know, and not have to have those kids brought up in a broken-up home. You know, I would think, you know, because it's not about you. Now, when you have conceived 5 children, you know, those children should be considered.
Absolutely, absolutely, Pastor Kim. Absolutely, absolutely. It's far from being about you. 5 children ago. It stopped being about you 5 kids ago. So it really ain't about you now. Lady Tamika.
I'm just looking at this whole dynamic. So somewhere in there was some love or some good attraction or something, you know, with 5 children. My thing is we're not honoring God when we acknowledge I'm a devout Christian. Basically, that's a stamp to make you look good. There's no honor and appreciation for God there. And so my thing also is, how do you appreciate or how do you show that you're taking care of the children than to take care of their mother? You know, I am aware of some situations where relationships don't always work out, but for what I did, and I said to God that I'm going to honor God in front of all these people to my spouse, regardless of the fact that they may not treat me nice or we get up in the morning and unfortunately that other person doesn't want to speak to me, I'm responsible and I'm accountable to God for my actions. And so my thing is, there's no honor there for God, you know, and I get it. The situations get rough, and sometimes there might be that thing where she did when she was well, she treated you horrible, and now it's flashing back now that she's sick, you know, because I've seen people that want to get back and you want to pay back, but there are things that you are responsible to, and you have to recognize that you are accountable to God for every deed that you do. And so my thing is, when you decided to leave days, not months, not years, but days afterwards, you really have to let God really marinate within your heart and look at that again. Pre-look at that. Look at it, turn it over, look it over again.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to thank you ladies for weighing in on that situation and that story. I so appreciate it. And this was hot yesterday. This was a hot topic. We didn't end up moving off of this topic at all yesterday. So it's still hot today for me, even hotter today with that little piece. Shifting gear a little bit, just a little bit now that, you know, we started with that. You know, I saw this article yesterday, and it talked about the enemies of your home. And, man, if this doesn't speak for how the enemies of your home can now play a role in ultimately the decisions that you make, I don't think anything else does. And one of the things that they mention as an enemy in your home, they say, put a guard before your eyes and the eyes of your children. Ooh, if this is not a wonderful place to start, you know, you have enemies in the home of different factors and things and stuff like that, and you can't stop it. You can't stop it. You have no way of stopping it from coming into your home. And this here is a prime example of how you have no ability to stop it from coming into your home.
So now that you have the enemy in your home, they're telling you to put a guard before your eyes and the eyes of your children. I'll start with you, Shantice.
It's funny because I just saw on Facebook about an hour ago, Rotimi. He's one of the actors from Power. He just had a son, I think maybe a year ago, and it was a picture of him and his son praying. And his caption was, "Start them from now with the God conversation." And when you're, when God puts it on your heart to teach your children or any children around you that he's trusting you with, when he says, "Okay, I need you to teach them about me," and, you know, start them with their little prayers and start them with, you know, like he has me with my niece, with the memories, all these things like he has with me, it also reinforces that with you. So it's not like he just has you doing that for them. But that's extra reinforcement for you. That's extra reading time. That's extra studying time. Because in order for you to teach it to them, you have to first learn it and grasp the concept yourself. So in order to combat the enemy, you're now going to have your focus on God and also have your children's focus on God, because it can't be one without the other. You have your focus on God, but your children don't. Now you're trying to handle things one way, live one way, speak one way. Meanwhile, they're on the side, still got you cussing and still got you upset because you're not teaching them to have the mentality or the habits of God. And if you know, you're trying to instill it in them or someone else is instilling God into them, but meanwhile, you're not trying to live your life in God. Now, you're just going to help to corrupt everything that God is putting in them. You're going to now be their main stumbling block. So it has to be where you and the child or children have God as their main focus.
Oh, Pastor Kemp, there's a caution. Put a guard before your eyes and the eyes of your children.
You said put. Repeat that again, please.
Put a guard before your eyes and the eyes of your children.
Amen. You know, sometimes we do have to, guard ourselves and as well as our children, you know, from things that are not of God, you know, from the things that are of the world, you know. I mean, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And sometimes, you know, because this is such an evil, evil world that we're living in, you know, we want to try to guard, you know, the eyes of our children from what they see in their eye gate and also in their ear gate, you know, the things that are on television, you know, that they shouldn't be watching, you know. So therefore, when you talk about us guarding ourselves as well as the children, you know, we have to be careful what we turn on or what we're watching, you know, so that they won't be watching it, you know. And we have to always lead by example, be a good example, so that, you know, they won't be feeling like, oh, okay, well, mama or grandmama, she watched this, so why can't I watch it, you know? Or, well, she goes here and she does this or does that. You know, we just always have to lead by example, be a good example in love and purity, and just as our children or grandchildren's covering, you know, we have to be so careful and responsible and accountable for the things that they might see.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, you know, you have to put a guard. You know, they're telling us to guard your eyes in the home. We're talking about the enemies of your home. And you think, you know, once you're on the inside of your home, you're fine. You're safe. You've left outside. You know, you've closed the door. You've shut out all of the elements of the world. But they're talking about the enemies that are running rampant in your home, and your eyes need to be guarded for both you and your children.
That is so very true. I can attest to that with my nephew, who we recently talked about some things, and he had access or privy to going from house to house to house, you know, and you don't recognize the damage sometimes that youth have access to, because they go to their friend's house, and the funny thing about it is, just because they spent a couple of hours at a friend's house or spent the night over there, that stuff comes right over into your home. So, and then you have to deal with it there. I'm grateful for my mother, who set a precedence in her home. You know, there were things we had to pray, you know, there were certain things that she wouldn't let us watch. And it was funny, because I would say, well, my friend could watch it and they're fine, you know, but I am so grateful. Places that she wouldn't let us go, people that she wouldn't let us spend time with, you know, she was very strategic in what she did. And everybody that was in the home had to deal with that as well. Myself, my siblings, my brother, you know, my nephew. And it is important, you know, not just for the children, but yourself. You know, what are you looking at? You know, what do you think you're watching and they have no access to, or you think that they don't know? You know, you're looking at something late at night and you say, oh, boo-boo, sleep, but you don't realize boo-boo is looking through the peephole. They know everything that you've been doing, everything that you've been watching, everything, even the conversations that you've been talking to. But that's in your home and everybody's safe, right? You better be careful, very, very careful, because just as though you think you're strategic, the enemy's got a plan. Trust and believe.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like this one. It says, have a set time to turn off the switch and spend time as a family. Now, this is big because, you know, when we're talking about, oh, I got to grind and I got to stack my money and I have to do this and I have to do that. That switch has got to turn off at one point. And now there's time to focus on this family, spend time with the family. Pastor Kim.
Absolutely. You know, there should be time, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. You know, when it's dinner time, if your set time is for, if dinner time is at 6 o'clock, then that means, guess what? You know, kids have become so accustomed and stuck to these phones. My God, I'm not going to just blame it on the kids, you know, because sometimes I have a bad habit too of just being on my phone when me and my husband go out to dinner and that's our time, you know. Then, you know, he feel like, okay, can you at least put the phone up, you know? And sometimes we do. We have to make sacrifices. We have to have family structure. You know, we should be able to have to say, well, this is our designated time that we're going to do dinner. We're not going to do any phones. You know, we have a designated time that we're going to, you know, have family time to do movies or whatever. You know, we make time for everything else, and sometimes it's just important that we have a balance and that we make time for love, make time for the family, make time for your marriage, you know, make time to do things that are important, because time is something that we can't get back, but we can't reverse. So, you know, while we have time to be able to have that quality time with family, you know, we should have set some time, you know, just as well as like when we set goals, set time to and make time to do things, you know, with your family while you can do them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, set that time away with the family.
I want to put it the best way that I know how. We are only given so much time. Some of us are given more than others. And with that time, it is important that we take time out to spend. You know, my mother, I've often said, you know, most people know that our avid listeners know that my mother's no longer living. But what I remember the most was our mother-daughter time. You know, and she took time. If you've got more than one child, take time out. You know, okay, today is such and such day, and tomorrow will be such and such day. so that each child recognizes that, you know, I am just as vital, I am just as important as the other person, and they don't feel a loss. You know, it is important to spend time as a family as whole. You know, I remember because there were a bunch of us, you know, and we always had somebody else that came over. All of us, every single one of us would pile up on one bed and watch movies and, you know, get popcorn, and somebody would go get this and somebody would go get that and somebody would go downstairs. And we all found a way to get into that one room. And I honestly believe that that was what made us cohesive. I love that. I remember that. And it's something that I can utilize now to laugh. You know, even when I look at that person, I go, ooh, I really don't like you today. But I remember, and I can use that, those things in the past that'll help heal the wounds of the present.
All right. Amen. 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 Shanti, we're talking about just turning that switch off. The switch could be the switch to anything. But what does that mean for turning it off and spending time with the family?
It means everything. And I know, like, even when I was still working a regular job, which is one of the reasons why I stayed in the restaurant industry, because your schedule could be so flexible. And I remember our family, like, out of nowhere, so spontaneous, like, late Saturday night or early Sunday morning, we'd be like, okay, like, either you or, you know, my aunt would say, okay, we're going upstate, you know, to my family to go have brunch or breakfast. And I'll call my job, like, oh, okay, I'm not coming. And they'll act so distraught, like, oh, but we need you here. And I'm like, okay, stop. The food will still get sold if I'm not there. So I'm acting like I'm going to shut the restaurant down because I'm not there. And I just understood, because I grew up understanding the meaning of, even if we didn't always sit at the table, literally, there was always a lot of quality time being spent. So even when I was still, you know, running the streets and partying and doing whatever, there was still that family dynamic that was very, very, very important. And when that now feels like it's being tampered with, it's like, wait, what's going on? What's going on? So you really have to make sure that you're understanding that there is a point where, listen, you quote-unquote grinding and all of that, you know, you got to, I know people now, it's like, well, I got to go make this money. I got to go make this money. And okay, so if you still got to make this money, then obviously ain't nothing getting done. Because when I spoke to you 2 years ago, you couldn't come out to the family thing because you got to make this money. And here it is today, and it's, oh, I can't come or I can't stay alone because I got to make this money. So obviously the money ain't being made. So you might as well just schedule yourself, okay, at 5 o'clock, even if, you know, you work for yourself, you know, get that discipline at 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock, whatever, the switch goes off, or every other week or whatever, I make sure we have, you know, now with the pandemic, even if with things opening up, everyone is still doing things virtually. So if it's, you know, family that you don't live with or friends you're not near, get on a Zoom, or now you can have one-on-one person on FaceTime. Like, just get it together, because God is allowing us to see that all of this quote-unquote work that we're doing that is now compromising our family and friend time, the quality time, the fellowship that we're supposed to be having with our friends and family, it ain't doing nothing. So make the switch.
All right. I like this one. And this one is a big one, because a lot of times we're missing this. We're talking about the enemies in your home. Again, we're not talking about what's going on the outside. We're talking about what's going on the inside. And they're suggesting, ask your children what they are watching and looking at. Oh, boy. Asking them what they're watching and looking at is huge. Lady Tamika.
That brings me back to my nephew. I remember one day coming home, you know, and my mother was laying in the bed asleep, or she wasn't really focusing. She was definitely not focusing, because my nephew was in the home watching Adult Swim. Now, for anyone who's ever watched Adult Swim, it's cartoons, however, they're definitely adults. There are adult content, adult things that are going on. Any one of those shows on Adult Swim is definitely not for children. So, you know, I came in the house and I was like, what are you watching? You know, and he's like, well, I'm, you know, he was like, well, I'm just watching cartoons. And I, you know, I told my mother, I was like, no, this is an adult cartoon. And I said, sit here and watch it. So she happened to look at it. She's like, oh, my God, turn the television. And I was like, these are the things, you know. Sometimes we need to sit in the room with the child, you know, okay, what is it that you're watching? Why is it that you like that show? What is it about it that appeals to you? You know, we have to be very, very guarded with our children because a lot of times they're privy to a lot of adult content, and we're not aware of it because we're not focusing because we think, oh, well, it's just a cartoon show. Beware, be cautious. Okay. And not only that, you don't know what kind of content is going through on certain things. So every now and then, not just to ask them, go right in the room and see what they're watching.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because there are cartoons out here I wouldn't watch. What's that cartoon, American Dad or no.
It's on Adult Swim, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So we definitely have to ask, you know, what they're looking at. And like you said, go see, because just because it's animated does not make it okay. Shantice.
I wish my niece would be watching something. I don't know what she's watching. Is she on her tablet? What are we playing? It got to the point where the games, certain games, no. Or she would be in the dining room, I'm in the kitchen, and I tell, oh, what you watching? Oh, something, such and such on YouTube, which is just so dangerous because YouTube is just like such an assortment of things they can look at, even in the kids section, even if you just minimize it to the kids. And then as soon as she said, oh, this kid, such and such, then you hear, oh, such and such and such, damn. I said, oh, well, I bet you said it was the kids. Okay, no. All right. We're going to have to screen this even more. But you do, because, see, this is how all these TikTok challenges and stuff get started, because these parents or whomever is over these children just leave these children in the corner by themselves with these devices, and they come up with these things, or they see it and they pass it along and they do it. And No. We're leaving it open. Ain't no corner, nothing. I don't care if it's your tablet, your TV, your phone. Whatever. She's not even allowed to make phone calls to her mother without letting me know. Who you calling? Mommy, did you ask me? Because, see, I don't need you sneaking and I think, well, I'll call mommy, so I can call this one. No. You need to make it known what you're doing at all times, because there's a way the enemy is really strategic as to how he's introducing stuff to these kids. So you could pick up your phone with the intention to call mommy, and then a notification will pop up, and now you easily get diverted to pay attention. No. So you really have to be on point with paying attention to what they're doing.
Okay. Pastor Kim, you know, we're talking about the enemies of your home. You know, again, we think that the only enemies are outside the home, but we have no idea what's going on inside the home. So you really need to ask your children and follow through on what they're actually watching. What about them grandkids, Pastor
yes.
Kim?
Oh, you already know. You know, it's so important that you, you know, I used to hear that cliche, you know, do you know what your children are doing or watching or something? But, yes, it's so imperative that you're checking, because, you know, and I think it's a twofold thing, you know, for the good reasons and the bad reasons. You know, you need to be checking on them. You know, for one, for the good reasons, you know, that's letting them know I'm concerned about the things that concern of you. You know, I'm concerned about what you're watching. You know, you can even say, you know, wow, you know, let me see what the kind of things that you like to watch on TikTok, you know, and that can strike a conversation, that can, you know, give you some bonding quality time, just to know that the things that interest them interest you. You know, my grandkids, they come up, they show me different things where on TikTok,
They're talking about different things about salvation and about Jesus and stuff like that, you know, which intrigued my granddaughter to want to read more and know more about the Bible. So I thought that was a good thing. And I said, wow, you know, at least TikTok and Instagram and some of these things are good for some positive things for the kids, you know. So in letting them know that, you know, that I was excited about that, that might help encourage them to be more focused on things that are more positive opposed to the things that are negative, the things that you hear coming up that say the cuss words and what have you, because the social media and these phones and these games, they have consumed so much of the kids. Even with my grandson, I have to watch the different games that he's watching because there's so much shoot 'em up, bang, bang stuff in them. And then, you know, you wonder why they got this rage and this anger in them and they, you know, might want to start liking guns and stuff like that. So it's so important that you just, you know, kind of monitor them, pop in. I do my pop ins all the time. You know, I go in there, let me see. You know, don't just tell me what you're watching. I want to see it. You know, and it's just a good thing because, you know, you got so many kids that are raising themselves and they don't have anybody that's concerned or even come and ask them, what are you watching on TV? What are you watching on your phone? What are you watching on the tablet or whatever? So it's a good thing to just, you know, inquire about what they're watching.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you ladies for weighing in on the enemies of your home and how we need to guard what goes on behind closed doors. You know, again, we think that all the enemies are on the outside. But with people coming in and out and the spirits just are following, we need to definitely be careful of everything that goes on in the home. And thank you so much for spending your time with us this morning. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
Everybody have a wonderful one.
Thank you. Oh, it's at the top of the morning on a Wednesday, and we have our Pastor Charlene who will be giving us our Faith Over Fear segment. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. You missed it yesterday. How are you?
I'm listening now what I missed. Oh, I miss y'all too, but you know.
It was fire. It was on fire yesterday, and I really wish you had been a part of the conversation, but thank God that you can join us today. You know, we're talking about the enemies of your home, and a lot of times, you know, we think that once the children are in, the husband is in, the wife is in, you know, whoever's inside the home, that we can sit down, we can be comfortable, we can let our head down, we can, you know, shut it all off because, you know, it's only on the outside that we have to be concerned about. However, you know, we just got finished talking about the children and how we deal with the children and how we talk and what we say to the children. What seems to be the issue with this faith over fear, you know, where you can't approach your children? Some people are just simply scared to talk to their children.
Oh, yes. It got to the place nowadays that the kids are coming and they the ruler. They say what they want to eat. They go in their room and lock their doors. When you walk into the room, they hide whatever they're watching. And it just got to that place where that because that they can call 911, and that we are told that we cannot hit, which they call abuse. Now, it's a different from discipline and abuse. So the fear comes in of the parent of just wanting to be their friends. The fear comes in because I don't want to hurt little Johnny's feelings instead of guiding and directing. So when we have all of those of the parent not being the parent that they should be, that's where the fear comes in, because now they allow them, when they do go to the world, that they can do whatever they want to do. Well, I'm from the old school. So therefore, in the house, that if the mother or the parents, period, are not in control, then the children are self-taught. They sit by the TV. They sit on the computers. No. So my thing is, there are no closed doors. If you lock the door, take the door off the hinges. If you are coming into the room and they are on and they shut the computer down, go into the history. You need to see what your children are watching. You need to know, because once it gets into the mindset, now you have more to deal with. Your children cannot come in there and demand that you buy them some shoes. You get when I give it to you. Some people do wear that. Their children are, because they go to school, that's their job. No, we was raised that you had to be able to clean the bathroom. You got nothing until you did what you had to do. So little things that we, that people think are little, really become major problems later on, because now you have not spent that time and showing them how that, what life is really about. You know, you have to earn it. You know, you have to be able to appreciate what you have, you know. And in the mix of talking about the Lord, you know, it's true, you have to start them more small and being able to not send them to church, but go with them to the church. You have to be able to bring in and sit down and play games that has, they have Bible games, they have you can make up games, you know, make a scramble game, you know. So no matter what you, whatever that you do in your game of spending that time with them, you can make it into Bible, you know, do name that tune, you know, of different songs that we listen to, you know, Kirk Franklin or anybody, you know, and where that you can make it fun as well. We are not dead people, so therefore we are able to bring these things into our households and being able to do different, even in cooking. Even in cooking, you know, spending time with them and being able to cook together. So if you allow to their minds to continue just to go on and be isolated, you know, even in their friends, know who they, who their friends are, you know, because one thing about the Lord, he's going to show you. He'll show you what your children are doing, and I thank God for that. He will show you, you know, where you have to come in and intercede on whatever, not just the children, your spouse as well, you know, and even yourself. You know, you have to be able to know what you're doing. Is this in the line of God? Am I watching too much of this? Am I, what's in my ears? So, you know, we have to be very careful in our household. You know, go around and teach them how to pray in their rooms and coming out and praying for others. And when you're not feeling good and, you know, where they little hands on you, you know, and where that you're showing them these things. And when you show them these things, you know, it will be able for them to continue to show someone else. I have come on before and I have said how my granddaughter, well, she was younger now she's 13. But when she go to the school, one of her little friends was sick, and she was so excited to come home to tell her mother, you know, and then she had to call me, oh, Grandma, one of my friends was sick, and I was praying for them, you know, and she puts her own little oil on her head, you know, and she said, Grandma, I just felt much better because she, you know, she was, got better. She didn't even have to go to the doctors, and I was so excited with her, and that shows that she was watching, you know, when you think, the least expect when you think that they're not watching, they are watching. So it's a blessing to be able to teach them and to be able to, you know, we always want to have these book. You can make it even fun with the book, you know, sit down and do the different stories in the Bible and have your own little book club. You know, so there's so many different ways that we can bring it in with our children and being able to, with that, when they go out there in the world, you already know what the attack is going to be out there. But don't let it be attacking your house. And be able to teach them and show them. So I thank God for this, even this time, because some parents just don't know what they can do because they haven't been introduced. And this is the opportunity where that they're able to hear and to be able to spread the word out where that we're able. Because remember, we got to trust God and believe that God is going to do it and teach them how to cover in the blood of Jesus, you know. And so, therefore, that's my faith over here on today. And I thank you so much, Pastor Steph. And you have a wonderful, blessed vacation. And talk to you soon, all you listeners. God bless you all.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Charlotte. And we pray that you have a blessed day. All right. So, today is April 6th. And we have a birthday. But before I say anything, let's hear from Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Hey, good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing?
All right, all right, all right. Thank you.
That's good. Well, you know how we do. We got a birthday going on. And like I always say, I can't sing, but I can rap. So we got this birthday going out to Patrick Hill, my main man. It'll go a little something like this. Pastor KL, you're a knowledgeable man. You know the word like the back of your hand. I love to sit back and hear you speak, but when you speak, you begin to preach. But that's okay because we really need that. We must understand that we're under attack, not in the physical form, but in the spiritual form. This is why we need to be reborn. So keep spreading the word that God gives to you, especially to the audience and the D-Time crew. Plus, we hear you and we're listening to you. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. So here we go. Happy birthday to you from Pastor Steph and the Due Time crew. I heard you asking about Shanti, but don't even bother. I had to tell you this, but I'm her father. Happy birthday, Abigail!
Oh,
happy birthday, Abigail! Stop asking about Shanti. I hate to tell you your birthday. I know you thought you were the father. Like Maurice said, you're not the father. I'm the father. So leave my daughter alone. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Al. Oh, my goodness gracious. Have a blessed day, Brother Al. Couldn't do it without you. Couldn't do it without you. Lady Tamika, you have an opportunity. The mic is yours to say happy birthday to Pastor KL.
Just wanted to say, you know, when you're a friend, you show yourself friendly. And I wanted to give Pastor KL so much great appreciation for him being even in strategic places. When you don't think that, you know, you notice, you do. You know, there are plenty of times that I can say that you have shown yourself to truly be a friend. We don't have to call each other on a daily basis, but sometimes just a phone call means all the more much. You know, there have been things and situations that he and I have spoken about, and I'm just grateful for the type of person that he is, and I'm wishing that he has a wonderful birthday, hoping that today has plenty of wonderful things to make him smile.
All righty, all righty. Thank you so much, Lady Tamika. Pastor KL is actually on and listening, so you can speak to him directly. Vivian, the mic is yours. Okay, maybe we got to come back to Vivian. Pastor Shay Shay, as you're so lovingly called. Pastor KL is on and listening. What would you like to say?
Happy birthday. You all have been such an encouragement to me in my life. I thank you. And it's always seemed like when you call me, it'd be right on time. And I thank you for imparting into my life, into me, about my ministry. I thank you so much. My husband wants me to tell you happy birthday as well. I just wanted to tell you that we love you so much. Continue to do what you do. You are the pusher of us. You always, always, to me, you're more than a friend. You're my brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate your ministry. I thank you for the laughter, because a lot of times when we're feeling in some, I'm feeling in some kind of place, that you make me laugh, and I surely, surely appreciate it, because you make us laugh till our side hurt. And I just love you, love you, love you. Enjoy your day. I'm hoping that you took off today just to spend time for you. If you don't want to do nothing, don't do it. Much love. God bless you. Mwah.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Charlene. I'm just going to say this is Shantice. You know, let her define who she is. Ah, Shantice, happy birthday to Pastor KL.
Happy, 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 happy birthday. I just want to say publicly, all this fighting about who's my father, I hope somebody started a trust fund for me. And Pastor KL, I hope, you know, all of this, you know, God convicted you to bring this truth out, that the money is there as well. So happy birthday. Happy birthday. I pray you enjoy your day. As Pastor Charlene said, I really hope I don't have to start threatening your life to take off on your birthday, like I have to do other people in the past. But I pray that you have a safe, blessed day, that you're able to relax and have a peace of mind, take some time for yourself. I'm so blessed to be able to be a part of this due time crew with you, and thank you for all of the times I needed to talk and I was able to call and or text and you checking on me, you being here for the family during, you know, the time earlier this year. So love you much. Happy birthday.
All righty, all righty. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor KL, what do I say? Oh, we go back a long, 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 long way, decades. As a matter of fact, we're talking close to 30 years. And I give God thanks because for a long time we had not spoken. We lost contact. Every once in a while we'll, you know, land in the same place. And, you know, to actually end up back on a ministerial ground with you was a blessing. It was a blessing, unexpected blessing. Boy, who said you challenge us? Or who said you, I think it was Pastor Charlene who said that you tell, boy, do you rattle my skin sometimes? And, you know, I remember my grandmother used to always say, you know, she loved, you know, the congregation because they challenged her and they made her push and learn and grow. And I have to tell you, you push to make me learn and grow more and more, because the more you speak, the more it helps me to, you know, go before the Lord and really. And I'm not saying this as a joke. I'm saying this for real. But it's not sarcastic. You know, it helps, because I understand that there's a place in my life for you. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful of the reconnection. I'm grateful for the love. I'm grateful for the friendship. I'm grateful for our conversations. I'm grateful for how you stimulate. How you stimulate me in many ways. And I give God thanks for you being here. I thank you for the times that you've spent with my daughter, you know, to give her an opportunity to air out, you know, some of the things that she, you know, was experiencing and feeling, and the times you spent, you know, to even reach out and speak on her behalf and to help her, to guide her as to how to do things. And you know, the uncle father battle that goes on. It's a blessing. It's a blessing as a child who was raised without a father, but to have men in her life who bona fide, you know, care for her. And it's a blessing. It's definitely a blessing. I can't say thank you enough for the commitment that you make, you know, on a weekly basis, the times you call to check on me and see how I'm feeling. It's a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you do for the broadcast as well as me personally. And I give God thanks. One of the only times I'll actually open up the mic and let you respond back. But because Brother Al opened up the floor and said something, I don't know if you want to respond or not, but I will give you an opportunity to quickly do so. But good morning. Happy birthday.
I just want to say thank you all. I really, really, I appreciate these words. I appreciate all of you. You all challenge me. You all challenge me to get to the next level. You challenge me to study. You know, Brother Al always referenced me as the walking Bible, so it challenged me to continue to dig deeper. You know, when we speak to the world, you know, when we have to bring them something. And I thank you, Pastor Steph, for this opportunity, for enlarging my territory. You know, you all have been a blessing to me. And if Brother Al is the father, I need all my money back. You know, that's all I want to know.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Pastor KL, we pray that you have a blessed day. Happy birthday to you. And we love you and thank God for another year out of your life. We thank
and
God.
I am at work. I am at work.
All right. Keep up that good work. Have a blessed one. Have a blessed one.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, all of you who took the time to, you know, give the birthday wishes. Let me give the benediction before I go any further. All right. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:5-6. Giving God thanks for our conversation today, you know, that kind of spilled over from yesterday. And hopefully, you know, again, adding that little caveat of information, you know, that this is a Christian who, you know, prays. And, you know, I'm a praying individual, and I don't play when it comes to prayer. And one of the things I always say to you all is God deals with me very heavily. And one of the things I do know is God is, there's no guide that will lead you into a level of insensitivity, that will lead you into a level where it's all about you. And, you know, that's the God that we have come to learn to serve. You know, in regards to the enemies in your home, of your home, again, I keep referencing, you know, your home is your haven. You come from outside, and you close the door behind you, and there's a level of peace, there's a level of joy, there's a level of camaraderie, there's a level of gathering, there's a level of going before the Lord that it's in an isolated, comfortable, personal space. And, you know, when people go in and out, based on where they've been throughout the day, based on who they've surrounded themselves with throughout the day, they bring that into the home. So I always want to remind you that the person who officially runs the home, that's the spirit that runs that home. If you go into that home and there's a level of peace, it's because the person who's running the home knows about a level of peace. If there's a hellion running a home and there's chaos in that person's life, and there's no God and no godly guidance in that person's life, then guess what? That's what's going to rule the home, which makes our home harder to live in. You know, when we talked a lot about what we do with our children, spend time with your children, you know, switch it off and shut everything down. That's big, because a lot of people don't know how to spend time with their children. And when they do, it's wasted. It's not a godly conversation. And it doesn't necessarily mean you got to say God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, this and that. But it does mean that you bring that element of godliness to the table. That's important. For like Shanti said, you know, you see the actor who has the son on his knees and he's praying. He's like, this is where it all begins, because guess what? This is where it all begins.
It begins with us. If we don't filter this into our children, guess what? We messed up. We're messed up. So make sure that the enemies of your home are not the commanding forces of your home, that you have control of it. We can't control. Once we open up the door, once we close the door, we cannot control it. However, we can definitely put it under God's subjection. Make sure God is the head of your home at all times. And that way, your home will have its perfect balance. That even if some element steps out, you can quickly snatch it up and put it into its proper place. Not to say that we're not going to have it. That would be a lie. That would be a lie. But are we putting God in charge of it, or are we trying to do what we need to do? Make sure you have things in its proper place. Okay? Well, I want to say that for 7 days, I will be on vacation. So we have Thursday, we have Friday, and we have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. I promise you, I need you to continue to listen, because there's a blessed program in place for you. Don't miss it. God has strategically done a perfect thing here, and I don't want you to miss it. And, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen big. And there's some movement that was suggested to me. And, you know, as soon as I heard it, you know, it's something that God would want. So I didn't have a problem implementing it, and it was welcomed. So guess what? Get ready, get ready, get ready. Okay, guess what? We are in for some big things. God is expanding territory. Not only is he expanding our territory, he's expanding your territory. Because the more we are given from God, the more we take the time to give to you Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. for 2 hours a day, your first 2 hours of the day, if you don't get up before the broadcast starts, God is investing in you. Make sure that you do something with that investment. Do not waste it. Do not let it go by the wayside. Remember, somebody is always watching you. You are not in this just for you. We are called to be disciples. And the only way we can disciple is to make sure that we follow God. The only way we can disciple is to make sure that we're doing what God needs us to do. If you are not discipling, you have missed the purpose of why God has you here. You're not here for you. It's not all about you. So let's make sure that we take the time to invest in one another. That's what we do each and every morning. And we love to have you here with us. We could not do this without you. It would just be us talking to one another. Now, that's not a bad thing. Because as you hear, we're always, you know, sharing. And what we give, God has blessed us to get back. So you want to make sure that you're in where God needs you in. You want to be in where God has opened up a door for you to walk through. He's opened up a window for you to get some blessings. So many blessings. Ooh, so many blessings that you won't even have room to hold it all. Oh, imagine that kind of blessing that only you can determine. Oh, did I just say that? Only you can determine how God blesses you. Either you're going to be obedient and he's going to open up every door and every window and it's going to pour in, or you're going to do something that hinders your blessings. Go back a couple of weeks ago, what we had with the ladies, how you hinder your own blessing. Please make sure you don't stand in the way of God blessing you. Ah, I'm going to miss you for 7 days, but I can always, always go back and listen. Make sure you do the same. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things.
is Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through. And I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with us each and every day. Please don't miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until, 1 week from now, God spares our life, I will talk to you. But in between that time, please make sure you tune in each and every morning, because I promise there's a blessing still on the table for you. Oh, until we speak again, I love you.